We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Kathy Solorana.
Hello.
Hi. Hello, Kathy is the founding principal, lead designer, and strategist at Wheelhouse Collective. She is energized by all things design, dives into problem solving, and loves partnering with innovative social impact organizations. Kathy and her multidisciplinary teams employ design thinking and human-centered solutions to create powerful brand experiences that make true connections, are memorable, and produce strong results. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lori. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So design, that's super fun. What is it that you love about being a designer?
Well, you know, when I first started this eons ago, I wanted to be able to do something that was creative and, as my parents had hoped, make a living. So it was very interesting that one of the key elements in my, I think, second semester junior year of college, we had the founders of USA Today come visit our school and teach us about graphic design. I was around before graphic design was really a thing. And so we learned how they put USA Today together. And I realized at that point, I was like, wow, we could actually use the creativity part and the journalism skill part that I had and make a living. So that's kind of where that bug initially started. And the more that I learned, and I was really basically self-taught, I just bought every single book and read as many things as possible in the library then, because we didn't even have internet at that time. And so found that that was something I tended to be pretty good at and just started learning and evolving ever since.
Very cool. And what a neat experience to kind of see the inner workings of USA Today back then.
Right. Yeah, it was pretty incredible. And, you know, you had no idea. I was around for the time where you still used paste up and type that you would print out and cut and paste onto boards to have them shot and turned into newspaper. So to see USA Today and the computer technology that they, you know, they were the first ones to kind of really start to do that online, digital online element. And that was a wonderful opportunity to go, oh my God, this technology is changing quick.
Very cool. So what are some of the favorite projects that you've worked on over the years?
Well, some of the really cool things is I've got to wear many hats over these years. And one of the hats was when I was working at an ad agency here in Omaha called Bailey Lauerman. And with that, I was on the Union Pacific account. And when I got to work on that, I got to work with the Union Pacific Museum that's located in Council Bluffs. So we got to do a lot of the exhibition work that they did there. We also did a commemorative series of locomotives for Union Pacific that are still out there today, that we took all the fallen flags, that's what they call in the railroad industry, of all the railroads that went kind of fell, and Union Pacific picked them up and bought them out. And so in order to honor their originality, we took all of the, we took and did research on all of the original railroads that were brought together under the Union Pacific name. And we created new locomotives for that. That was a pretty incredible project.
Oh, it sounds like it. And what a neat experience in itself to just kind of dive into all that history, right?
Oh, yeah. You talk about history. I think we're up to, I've been off the account for a few years now, but I think they're past 175 years right now. And
wow.
It's really incredible to see the United States, but also see all the people who worked on the railroad. Talk about a land of immigrants. That's exactly what the railroad was all about. And it was incredible to see all the different people, and depending on where you are in the country, what got done and by whom.
Yeah. Cool. Very cool. Thanks for sharing that. So what would be a client or brand that you would love to work with?
The ACLU is one of my number one favorite peoples that are out there currently. I think they have such a difficult job on an hourly basis, it seems. They have such a wonderful brand that I just would love to be able to do a partnership or some kind of collaborative project with them. I think they are absolutely fantastic in terms of knowing exactly who they are and their purpose in the world. I think, yeah, they rank as my number one. And number two, I just love Planned Parenthood. I think that that is a fabulous organization that does so many good things with education and talking about sex education, not only for teens and young adults, but also for adults and parents, giving them the proper tools in order to have some of those tougher conversations that sometimes are uncomfortable. So those are my two favorites.
Wow, that's really cool. Obviously, you're extremely passionate about very specific, supporting human-centered solutions, as you say in your bio here. That's very cool. Well, seeing as this is a networking show, I'm just going to say that the ACLU of Wisconsin is our neighbor in our building here.
Oh, lovely.
So we've actually done some work with them in the past, but I'd be happy to make an introduction if you're looking
yes,
for that.
Yes, that would be fantastic. I am a huge fan, and every year as I've gotten money saved aside, I pick certain nonprofits that need to get my attention. Although my dollars aren't huge, that is definitely one of them. And I just think right now they have such an important role to play. So being a part of that or even doing something very small with them would be an incredible opportunity.
Awesome. Great. Well, I'll definitely make that connection for you.
But, sure, thank you.
Yeah. So let's go to this topic of networking here. You know, my goal with this podcast is to remove the fear and anxiety that people have when they hear that word networking. So can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
Let's see. Well, a part of what I do, I do a lot of volunteer work. So I'm on the AIGA Nebraska board as their diversity inclusion director. And so I spend a lot of time in the community at large, a lot of time with designers, and I've joined a few HR groups as well. So I get to talk a lot about our goals and mission with diversity, inclusion, or equity in the local area. And so I think that that really helps in terms of making those professional connections. And that's just one of the passion projects that I have, but I try to also bring that. That's also a part of what Wheelhouse is all about, is working with others to make a positive impact. So networking and just being confident as you go in and talk to people, I think, is kind of the key element. You don't want to come across as arrogant or know-it-all, but you want to come across as excited and informed. And so when you can do that and share some of that with the people that are in the room, whether it be a professional organization, whether it's a community, whether it's a nonprofit, I think that no matter what you say at that point, people will respond to how you are sharing that information. So I don't necessarily have a specific example of that, but I know that there are ways in which you can present yourself to have a positive outcome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the things that I'm just identifying as I'm listening to you talk is that you're involved in an organization that you believe heavily in, or you're taking a role within an organization that aligns with your personal mission and values.
Yes. And so thinking about that, I used to be involved on the board level 14 years ago. And I had discovered that there was a position for diversity and inclusion a little over 2 years ago, and realized that that was also an initiative driven by the national AIGA organization. And so that's when I made the decision to hop back on the board and start the diversity and inclusion initiative here in Nebraska. So it was really kind of cool to be a part of an organization for over 20 years, but not be in such a huge leadership role on a local level. And then realize that the passion could also connect to an organization that's doing great things. So I jumped right in.
Cool. Very neat. So what do you do to stay in front of or nurture your network or community?
Well, a part of being in all of these community organizations, I get to meet people from all over the area, as well as all over the world. I also try to make sure that I go to a few different conferences throughout the year. I try to set aside funds so that I can go and meet people. And I try not to do the same thing every year. I try to mix it up so that I can constantly meet new people. But then it's doing what we're doing now, talking on podcasts, listening to podcasts. I listen to TED Talks. I try to listen to 3 a week. So I'm also, you know, paying attention to what's going on in the world, as well as what's happening in design, and learning about new people who are making impact. So, and then if it's something that I find that there's a connection there, I try to reach out to that person and just let them know that if they ever need anything, or if there's anything I can do to help, I would be happy to. So I try it that way.
Nice. I like that you're just kind of observing the landscape and finding individuals that resonate with you. And then you're kind of taking that step to further nurture that opportunity and that relationship.
I think in the end, especially, you know, I know with many different fields and professional crafts of creativity, that I think the more that you do that you are truly interested in and passionate about, and the more that you can start to execute that in terms of what you do for a living, those two connect really well. And that offers really amazing opportunities for collaboration, as well as for incredible work.
Nice. What advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Volunteer and join everything you can possibly fit into your schedule that aligns with the things that you care about the most. That's really how it works. And I'm sure you've talked about this in the past. Most business doesn't happen when you're actually sitting down talking about business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It happens when you're not talking about business. It happens when you're doing things and being involved. And so the more that you can do that and get out there, I think the better off you're going to be in making that aspect a success, and doing it with people that you will love to learn about and grow to respect over time.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely a lot of respect, I think, fuels having business or business taking place. And I really like what you said about, you know, business doesn't happen when you're talking business. It happens when you're when you're getting involved, really, right?
Right. It is. It's true. But then also kind of the cool thing about that is that you really do get to know people through the community and the outside business activities. You get to know their kind of personalities and what they're into, what they're not into, how they work with each other, so that it's almost like a non-interview interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Which makes sense. I mean, people know you, like you, trust you, and then they start doing business with you. And it's
right,
informal way of that happening.
Right.
So a lot of what you've spoken about has been that traditional networking, getting involved and helping other people. But I'm always curious to perspective with regards to digital networking. So with traditional and digital, which one do you find more value in?
Well, since I'm kind of an extrovert, getting in touch with someone, having a verbal conversation with someone is really energizing for me. So I really do like the one-on-one, even though I do brand therapy, which is basically a 101 in empathy and understanding of communication. And so I do that via online, but we do it with video so that you can see each other. So digital, I think, is there. And definitely because my business, I have a virtual agency, and most of my collaborators that I work with are located all over the country. We work online. So it's pulling up Skype or FaceTime or Zoom or whatever you use to connect with each other, and you work that way. I still wished I could point. That's the one thing I'm missing in all of this. I want to just run my finger right through that screen. But I do think that, just like we're talking now, you and I have never met face to face, but we're able to have this unique conversation because of the technology that's available. And it shows up every day on YouTube, and how people are using SoundCloud to get, music and things out there that they don't have representation for. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to continue to evolve. But the one thing we have to remember is that we are all human, and we do need human interaction. So we still have to try to find a way to make the digital human.
Yes. Yeah, I like that. I think it's really important to humanize everything that's happening in the digital space, because at the end of the day, humans are buying from other humans, right?
Right.
Okay, Kathy, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I was thinking about that actually this weekend, because we, the AIJ Nebraska chapter, had an event for students called Me, Myself, and Design. And so I talked to a lot of 20-year-olds. So I was thinking about that aspect quite a bit. I think that especially when I graduated from college here, I moved to New York City, and I thought, okay, I have a resume. I know what I'm doing. At least I thought I did. And I have a resume. I'll go get a job. And 150 resumes later, and about 7 or 8 months it took to find a basic entry-level design job, I realized at that moment in time I didn't quite know what I thought I knew. So I think a little humility helps at the beginning, and asking a lot of questions, mm-hmm. I think would have been a lot better than thinking that because I took all these classes and I had, I felt like I had a level of understanding that I could just walk in and start to do. And I think that's something that, knowing what I know now, I didn't know anything. I don't think I ever started to know anything in terms of my career, actually, till I hit almost 30. Mm-hmm. And by that time, then you got to work on enough projects and try enough different elements of the craft, meet enough people in all kinds of different situations that you had kind of a backlog of things that you could, or a reserve that you could pull upon when new situations arose. So I think just being a little bit more humble, being quiet, and being ready to learn, I think would go a long way.
Yeah, I agree. I think the ready to learn is a really powerful statement that you shared. And the best way to do that is to ask a lot of questions, like you said earlier. I think it's so important to not make assumptions about about the information you have right now. Just ask away, right?
Right.
I like that a lot. Be ready to learn. That's really good. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Who would be the one mm-hmm. person that you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
Oh, Well, obviously, I mean, I guess right now, I wished that Maya Angelou was still around because she's my number one person. I got to hear her speak when I was in college, so that was pretty incredible. But a person today that I would love to talk to, I really, really would love to talk to Obama. I know that seems maybe trite or expected, but I can't even fathom what he must think about this country and what's happened since he left office. And I do know through AIJ, the person that worked on his creative team at the White House.
Oh.
So if I really wanted to pursue that, I bet I could find a way to at least inquire about a conversation.
It looks like you've got a challenge for yourself, right?
I know. I don't know if he'd want to talk about that, though. That's what I'm curious about. But maybe he's like, I just need some time off, woman.
Well, now you're making an assumption, right? And we were just talking about that. So I'd say go for it and ask the question.
Yeah, that's probably pretty true.
So, Kathy, one of the questions I always like to ask relates to continuous education. And we said, you know, be ready to learn. I'm always curious, what book are you reading?
That's an assumption.
It sure is.
I'm not a big fan of reading. I'm a big fan of teaching my children to read, but I'm just not a big reader. I listen to a lot of things like podcasts and audiobooks, because listening to me is a lot easier. I also listen while I'm working, depending on what I'm doing. So that gets accomplished. Rework, is the name of a book that that I've been listening to. And who is it by? Hold on. Jason Fried. That's a really good one. Just talking about how you think about the process of working, the time it takes. I can be considered very easily a workaholic, but that's kind of my personality. But trying to find that work-life balance and trying to always find maybe better ways or more unique ways of accomplishing the same goal with that might take less time.
Nice. I want to say I've read that book a few years ago.
Yeah, it's not new.
Yeah.
It's old.
Now that the way that you just spoke about it, I want to read it again.
Yeah.
Reread, rework.
That's exactly what I did 2 years later. It's get it back out again and go, okay, this had some really good info.
Thanks. Any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Well, I think, you know, no matter what you do, no matter what your career is, this evolution of what we know is imperative to being really good at what we do. And like what we talked about in terms of being humble at the beginning, being humble now is really, really important. We do know things, especially, you know, I'm almost 27 years into my career. So I do know some stuff now, which is kind of cool. But I also know that I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I can, you know, own that and then constantly try to find the things that I don't know about and be open to that, I think is really helpful. And it, you know, seriously, it doesn't matter if you're a surgeon or you're in the creative field, it's going to evolve. The world is going to evolve. Technology evolves all the time. And you just kind of have to, you know, it's like a roller coaster, you know, you're going about your life and it's kind of going click, 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 click up. And then all of a sudden you got to raise your hands and go, wee, and it goes. Then you're in there for the ride. So that's really something I try to tell myself on a daily basis, especially when I get frustrated, when I can't figure something out. I'm like, nope, this is really good for you. We're going to do this.
Very nice. I like that. And you opened up with a statement along the lines of what we know helps influence what we do. And I think that's a really profound statement.
Ooh, I was profound. That's kind of exciting.
All right. If anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way that they can reach you?
They can head to my website, which is wheelhousecollective.com, or they can always email me at Kathy with a C at wheelhousecollective.com. Either way, you can get a hold of me. And we, Wheelhouse really tries to focus on working in the social impact space. So anyone who's wanting to, is thinking about tackling what's going on in front of us, we've got some really great experience and we are here and ready to learn.
Very cool. And we will include that information in the show notes.
Well, Lori, so nice to meet you and thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, this was a great conversation and I appreciate so much for you taking the time to be on the show today.
No problem. And I'll let you know if I ever get a chance to talk to Obama.
Yes, you'll report back to our listeners. Yes, great.
I will. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Kathy for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori at socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.